Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Three topics today, a bit about Hillary's new book, What Happened. In fact, I'll give out our call-in number in case any of Hillary Clinton's supporters would want to call in about it. Our number is 800-8-ENYART. It's the same number for our telethon, by the way, to order our materials, 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278. Then a bit more on the hurricanes and the claim that these indicate the judgment of God, that God is targeting Texas and Florida and the earthquakes and the forest fires in Montana and out west. And then the third topic is, well, a phone call I received yesterday. Some of the elders of Denver Bible Church and I were together. My phone rings, and I show them the name associated with the private number ringing in. And it was the name of a popular end times teacher. In fact, millions of Christians would recognize his name. He wanted to discuss what has recently become a widespread claim. This has been around for a couple years. It's been percolating, sort of like, remember Y2K? There were the Y2K doomsayers who were on it for a few years, and they were selling survival kits and all, and saying it was a sign of the end times. And then as you got nearer and nearer, that became more of a phenomenon. So that pattern happens over and over. And in this case, it's something about the rapture of the church that this end times guy wanted to talk about. And that's when Jesus brings the members of the body of Christ into heaven. And then for the great tribulation, he returns to his work with the nation of Israel. So we are looking forward to seeing the Lord, how beautiful that will be. And he'll resume the end times prophetic calendar with Israel. But this end times teacher wanted to discuss the claim, a very specific one, that the rapture will occur on September 23rd, this year. That's 1 week from Saturday. I mean, my whole month is brightening up. The telethon, our goal is $30,000. Maybe we don't need to worry about it. So, and by the way, if you do believe that the rapture is going to be on the 23rd, please send us a check, empty out your bank account. Send us a check for everything you have. No, I'm only joking because I don't want to take advantage of gullible Christians. But at any rate, this Christian teacher, he wanted to discuss this growing phenomenon, this claim that the rapture will be on September 23rd. And the last time we talked, he had discussed he might be out in the Denver area this fall. We could get together for dinner. So he asked me the question. He knew I'd heard about this September 23rd thing. And he's going to go on the air, and he's wrestling with how to present this. And is it valid? Is it not? If he says it's valid, he loses his credibility. What does he do? He just wanted to talk it through. And that's why I'm not giving his name on the show, because I don't want to take advantage of our relationship. So he said, so Bob, I'm not sure what to do about this. There's a documentary that's been produced. AT&T is one of the sponsors, and they've interviewed the main guy behind the whole September 23rd, 2017 thing, and a number of the other leading end times teachers. And you know why this documentary is being produced, right? Because they're going to mock them with it. That's why. AT&T wouldn't sponsor something that honored Jesus Christ and his followers. They wouldn't do that. But they would do this. This is politically incorrect to mock Christians. So So what do I do about it? So I said, well, why don't we do this? You said you were coming out. So I'm looking at my calendar. Let's get together after church on the 24th. Let's get together that afternoon. We'll go to Texas Roadhouse and we'll talk it through. And he's chuckling, right? Because I said the 24th. And the claim is the rapture will occur on September 23rd. And the reasons they give are extensive. There are scores of reasons why the rapture will be on September 23rd. And it reminds me back in the 1980s, I was a Christian. I was reading the Bible commentaries, books on prophecy. And there was one book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. And there was only one really interesting thing about that book. All 88 reasons were wrong. Imagine that. Imagine presenting 88 reasons for something and you bat zero for 88. That's worse than a major league pitcher. That is really bad. But it's also the norm over the last 2,000 years. So there will be a generation where their teachers get it right. But our track record as the body of Christ indicates that they will get it right by accident. It will be a mere coincidence that those particular teachers happen to be living in the last generation for the body of Christ at the time of the rapture. Remember the Jehovah's Witnesses, their prophecy that Jesus would return? When was it? They said in 1914, right? Charles Taze Russell and Judge Rutherford and those guys. And so their leaders all gather to meet Jesus. Now, they don't believe that Jesus is the creator God. They don't believe he is Jehovah or Yahweh. They don't believe he's one of the three persons of the Godhead, the Trinity. They present their own version of him, which is a perversion. At any rate, 1914, let's just say that it was an awkward time for the Jehovah's Witnesses. So they tweaked their claim and they said, well, he was returning. And in fact, he did return. Now, we never said that he wouldn't be returning just spiritually. And so really, we were right. He did return, but it was a spiritual return to the earth. And the only ones who saw it were the ones who were looking for it. They were the ones who were able to see it. And that's funny, right? Because it's the opposite of what Jesus said. Everyone will know around the world, everyone. So the neat thing about this claim for September 23rd is that it's so specific. Okay, so now as to Hillary Clinton's new book, she's written a number of books. We have a bit of a history here on Bob Inert Live with Hillary Clinton and her books. This one, titled What Happened, it's out today, Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. I've got it right here, hardcovered. Let's hear it. Hardcovered, 512 pages. Let me read this. This is good from the New York Times blurb right here. Hillary's latest book, What Happened, is a postmortem in which she is both coroner and corpse. That's pretty good. I like that. She's both coroner and corpse. You know, that line is better than anything in the book itself from my quick perusal and the reviews I've read. Now, throughout this thing, alongside her narrative of why she lost the 2016 presidential election, Hillary presents snippets of her own views and why she should have been elected. So let me read just a couple quotes to you, and you will see how evil this book is. I mean, it just spills off the page. The wickedness just spills. If you open the book upside down, just open it, the filth just falls off of it. Don't get it on you. But you'll see from these quotes, you'll see how evil this is. In fact, if there are any Hillary defenders listening, call in if you'd like. 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. I wonder if you would even try to defend these quotes when you hear them. They're about children and the government. Or even if you're not a Hillary supporter, but you think these quotes are acceptable, and you want to show that you agree with them, feel free to call us. Okay, right now, let's see. These are toward the end of the book here, page 403. Okay. 403. What happened? The government must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. Let me read that again. The government must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. That is despicable. This is despicable. The person who wrote that is manifestly despicable and wicked. Now, I'm just going to turn here we go. Just flip over one page, 404 on the left side here. Okay. The government's concern belongs more to the child than to the adult. That is despicable. That's despicable. Okay. So if you think that you could defend, in fact, all right, okay, we got a call here. You know, I'm just going to take it. All right, hello, caller?
Yeah, Bob, of course those things are true.
Huh? Yeah.
Bob, you just obviously don't like Hillary.
Yeah.
You know, you're just a fascist jerk. That's all. Period. Goodbye.
Well, wait, don't. Guy hangs up right off the bat. Okay, so he hung up. So what did he say? I got to remember. Should we? Okay, what did he say? He said, he called me a fascist, and he said, of course those things are true. That's what he said? Yeah. So of course those things are true, and I just don't like Hillary, and I'm a fascist jerk. It cracks me up. I'd like to ask him, what is a fascist? I'd just like to ask him that. You know, we have the fascist, anti-fascist now. And the by all means necessary, that group was started, and it's led by public school teachers. Did you know that? And the fascist, anti-fascist movement in America today, the left. I'm going to give out the phone number again, all right? Maybe somebody could actually have the courage to talk through this and try to tell us if they agree with these thoughts, try to actually defend them. But so our number, 800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. So the government must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people, and the government's concern belongs more to the child than to the adult. That's despicable. Here we go. Okay. Hello, caller. Hey, caller, do you agree with Hillary?
Certainly.
You do. I picked up your call before our screener even had time to answer it. So, hi, what's your name?
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty. Where are you calling from?
Pittsburgh.
All right. So, did you know that Hillary's book, What Happened, was just released today?
Actually, no, I didn't realize that.
All right. Well, the media has had review copies for a while. So, let me read these quotes to you. And tell me if tell me if you agree with them or not, okay? So, the first quote, page 403, the government must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. What do you think?
Sure, that's fine.
You think
it's better than fine. It's good, yeah.
You think that's good?
Yep, I do. Of course.
So, Patty from Pittsburgh, you really agree with that sentiment generally that the government must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people?
Of course.
Okay, well then, how about the second quote? The government's concern belongs more to the child than to the adult. Now, do you agree with that, that the government must be more concerned with the child than with the adult?
Of course, it makes sense. It's great.
Okay, so you agree with both of those. You don't think they show that this is just evil. Well, how about I'll give you a third one, and I'll just paraphrase it. Okay. The government should help parents so that their children will be a blessing to them. Now, that's, what do you think of that? I say that the mind that writes all this is evil. What do you think of that? The government should help parents so that their children will be a blessing to them.
I think you're way overreacting, probably, because you just don't like Hillary. I mean, these quotes all tell us that whatever your bias against the author, this book is written by a good person who obviously loves children and wants the government to help take care of them.
Sure. Okay. Wait a minute. Patty, the book just fell right. Oh, no. Look at this. Patty, I know that this is radio and you can't see what just happened, but I will. You know what? We're going to take a photo of this and we're going to post it on our website today, kgov.com. The dust jacket of Hillary's book, it just slipped off the book. Now, wait a minute. This, my producers played a trick on me. I'm not reading Hillary's book. I'm reading from a different book. Let me see what this is. I'm reading from Mein Kampf, the book written by Adolf Hitler. So, Patty, I know you can't see this, but it's going to be, the photo of this is going to be on kgov.com. These quotes that you just defended, they're coming right out of Adolf Hitler's book.
I don't believe you.
Well, first of all, it's true. And anyone here, now I think you will believe me. Anyone could search online for these quotes. Just search, and they'll pop right up in Google. These words that you love so much, Patty, that, in fact, we will type out these quotes and put them on our website, along with the photo, on kgov.com, and you will see, everyone will see that they came right from the head of another socialist party. You know, Hillary was the head of her socialist party, and there was another socialist party in Germany. And the head of that National Socialist Party was Adolf Hitler, and he's the one who wrote this stuff.
So what's your point, Bob? So you lied about quotes from Hillary's book, so what? That doesn't prove anything.
I lied. Okay. Well, here's what it proves. Patty, it proves that Hitler's words about children anyway, and we could see about many other topics, but about children can be mistaken for Hillary Clinton's words. It does prove that. And it proves that socialist politicians can camouflage the greatest evil with the most lovely sounding words. Words that, when you consider them more carefully, they undermine the authority of the parents and of the family as a unit, and they lay the groundwork for the government and its institutions to gradually supplant the nuclear family with its mother and father. So it proves those points. Patty, where did she hang up? She hung up. Both callers hung up. All right. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of something. I'm asking my producer, could you go on the Bob Inert Live YouTube channel and pull up It Takes a Village and see what year was that? This reminds me of something that happened when Hillary wrote her book, It Takes a Village. Remember that? How many people here in the studio, how many of you remember Hillary's book, It Takes a Village? Okay, we got 1996. So that was 1996. Thank you. So It Takes a Village to Satisfy My Husband. No, that wasn't it. It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. She used the title of an old African proverb that had just been invented by some liberal professor somewhere. It takes a village to raise a child. And what's so amazing is that Hillary's sentiments overlap in a significant way the sentiments of the National Socialist. How from cradle to grave, they were going to take care of everyone. Now, initially, the Nazis were against abortion because Hitler wanted more Aryan youth for him to command at his disposal. But eventually, Hitler's own physician proposed and they implemented policies to allow the killing of unborn children eventually. And so were the Nazis, like you might hear from leftists, were the Nazis against abortion by some moral principle? No, they were social Darwinists. They thought we're all animals and that you could kill the weaker animals for the survival of the fittest. They didn't have any moral objection. I mean, they did away with Christmas and replaced it with the winter solstice. And leftists and atheists, they like to claim that the Nazis were Christian. Unbelievable, right? How the social Darwinists, which had essentially atheistic regimes, in the last 100 years slaughtered tens of millions of human beings. Governments slaughtering even their own people. And we're talking about tens of millions of human beings born and then hundreds of millions of the unborn. So the overlap is extensive between today's socialist and the National Socialist in Germany. Remember, Germany wasn't a nation that was overflowing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Germany was among the elite in Europe in education and the arts and science. You wanted a degree that was respected around the world, you went to Berlin. You go to Germany, you go to Hamburg. And whether it's science, the arts, education, generally speaking, and you see, you can have all of that without morality. And that's what you had with the National Socialists. And because they were socialist and the government was to care for people from the cradle to the grave, that means they're left wing because the right is against socialism and communism. But after World War II, then the liberals didn't like also being left-wingers with the Nazis. They didn't like that. So they declared that the Nazis were right-wingers. So how's that? I mean, Nazism and communism, they have enormous overlap, and they're both left-wing economic systems, left-wing. Whereas the right, those who acknowledge not the moral relativism of the left, and not that we're animals and survival of the fittest, but revelation from God that God has made us in his image, in his likeness, and he has revealed to us the enduring command, thou shalt not murder, and the enduring command, thou shalt not steal, and the enduring command, thou shalt not commit adultery, and the enduring command, thou shalt not commit perjury, that is, bear false witness against your neighbor. So Hillary's new book, What Happened, much like her last books, including It Takes a Village, simply dress up her rebellion against God in her bloodthirsty desire to dismember unborn children by the millions. She dresses all that up in mellifluous sounding words. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful that the Nazis cared more for children, that the child was the greatest priority of the government, that that was Adolf Hitler's heart of hearts? And even during World War II, the Germans premiered a film called I Accuse in Berlin and in Rome. And this film, it promoted euthanasia because the doctor loved his wife so much. And no matter what he did, he couldn't cure her. So he saw to it that she would not have to suffer, and he killed her. Physician-assisted suicide. Isn't it amazing how loving the Nazis were? That even when the world was attacking them, the world, they still took time out to show how loving and compassionate they were. Isn't that something? So you see how easy it is to disguise your hatred of God and your hatred of the innocents as though it's beautiful. So the hurricanes, and where does the time go? We're, again, almost out of time. But I wanted to share with you the beginning verses of Luke chapter 13, because, of course, 2,000 years ago, like today, things happen. There are news reports. And in some of these events, people are killed. And so what is the meaning of it? What is the interpretation of these forest fires in which people have died, and the earthquake in Mexico in which people have died, and these hurricanes in which people have died? Now, Hurricane Irma, the death toll has risen to 12. So 12 people have been killed, and each one is a tragedy that we grieve with the family, with the loved ones. But various Christians are using these current events as evidence that the end times are upon us. And we've reminded people of the Galveston hurricane. Remember that one? It killed 6,000 people in Texas. 6,000. Now that must have seemed like the end times to a lot of those people. But that was back in 1935. And it wasn't a sign of the end times. There have been hurricanes for thousands of years. And in the Pacific, they call them typhoons. So 12 killed by Hurricane Irma this past week. And in Galveston, Texas, back some decades ago, 1935, 6,000 people were killed. And there have been thousands of storms like this since Jesus was here on earth. And thousands more before his first coming, after the global flood, and before his first coming. So, those who claim that Hurricane Irma was a sign of the end times, it was a hurricane. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And if it weren't for the tsunami of terrible theology drowning the church, more Christians would understand that. It's so simple. It rains on the just and the unjust. God doesn't give the farmer another day of drought because the bride is praying for clear skies. Even if he's her father, it doesn't rain just on the Christian's farm and not on his daughter's wedding. That's all superstition. And so some Christian, they have a wedding and it's clear skies, and they claim that God gave them the clear skies. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. So we thank him for all good things. But to claim that he is micromanaging every flood and he's flooding out all these churches and all these homes of Christians because obviously they needed to be judged. I mean, it's just such a misrepresentation of the scriptures. So Jesus brought this up. And in Luke 13, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. In other words, Pilate and his soldiers murdered these people. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So, when people ask us, Denver Bible Church, "Do you think these people were killed in this hurricane because of God's judgment? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish."